Okay, today is Erechin, or Erechin, Daf Chof Gimel. We are on Chof Gimel by the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is now going to discuss certain cases about where the Chachamim were concerned about some sort of subterfuge, so they made a takana in collection. Hamakdish Nechasav. So you have an individual who's Makdish, he takes all of his Nechasim and says they are Kaddish, whether it was Be'ach or Beis HaMikdash. But prior to being makish all his nechasav, there's a pre-existing lien, there's a first lien, because he owes the money in his estate to pay off his wife's ksuba. So we're concerned, basically the Mishnah is concerned that maybe what's going on here is that the husband is going to make some sort of trick. He's going to make some sort of trick in order to get the money, mostly. So when he divorces her, Yeitor Hana, he has to take a neder that he will not get any benefit from this woman. And therefore, he makes this neder, says, I can't get any benefit. So therefore, he can't, after divorcing her, assuming he's not a Kohen, he can't, after divorcing her, then go remarry her, and then remarry her and get the money back in. And the idea is that since he has this pre-existing loan, the money doesn't go to Kiddush, doesn't go to Hekdesh, because it's pre-existing lien. So when he divorces her, she collects the money beforehand, and then he says, okay, so now she collects the money, and now let's go remarry, and then he gets the money back into his estate. So what you do is you force him to take this neder that says he will not get any benefit from her, and therefore he can't remarry her because he can't get the money. Right, Rashi says, Yidur Harna, Yador Shalo Yachzarena Olam, the Shem Mishum Arma Migarshala, Shetigva Ksuvasim in a Hekdesh, that she'll collect the Ksuva from Hekdesh, the Yachzirena, and then he'll remarry her, and then I'll get the money. So it's some sort of ploy. Rabbi Shu Omer Eno Tzarech, Kayotze Bedavar, similarly, Omer Rabbi Shu Magamlio, Af Ha'arev Li'isha Viksuvasa. So you have a guarantor for a woman's Ksuva. Right? I have to pay the Ksuva. If I can't pay, they're going to go to Joe. He's the guarantor. Vahaya Bala Migarsha, and so the person is divorcing his wife, Yadirena Hana. He has to take a neder that he won't get any benefit from her. Shema Yase Kenunya al Nechasim Shelze, the Yaxar Ishto. Maybe it's just all a ploy. The guy went broke. He said, I got an idea. I'm going to divorce you. They're going to come to me to collect the Ksuva. I don't have the money. It's a nice Ksuva. They're going to go to Joe. Joe's going to pay you. I'll remarry you. And we'll come and I'll get the money. So the Gemara says, maybe they'll make a kenunya. Rashi says, kenunya is the arma. Okay, so, but in the Resha, by the Kiddushin, it said that Rabbi Yeshua says, Eino Tzarech. You don't have to take this neder. He's not worried. So, but my kamiflagi. So what's this machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer is concerned. Savar, Adam Osa kenunya al Hekdesh. Yes, and we're dealing with Hekdesh. So Hekdesh might be something that people are more apt not to try to trick, because that's like, ooh, that's the holy man. We're not going to try to trick them. So Rabbi Lezer says, no, Rabbi Lezer says people want to make kenunyas, to make these arma with Hekdesh. Rabbi Lezer Savar Adam Osa kenunya al Hekdesh, and therefore we have to be concerned about it, and therefore we make the neder to avoid this ploy. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Ein Adam Osa kenunya al Hekdesh, a person is not going to make a kenunya, not going to make this sort of trickery when it comes to Hekdesh. Hekdesh is very something that's very, very serious, and therefore there's no need to make this, to make him take the Shua. If that's the case, that the whole machlokas is whether or not you make a kenunya or Hekdesh, what about the following thing that we mentioned? Ella, Hada Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna has made a statement. Shchiv Meira, right? Shchiv Meira, the person on his deathbed. Shchiv Meira. Shemakdis Kol Nechasav. So he was makdish all of his nechasim, so everything goes to Hekdesh. But then he says, you know what? But Va'amar Mana L'Ploni B'Yadi. Wait, $100 I owe to Steve. I owe $100. So now is he trying to make trick Hekdesh to get it out of Hekdesh? So we say over there he's Neman. He's believed that he owes the $100 to this guy pre-existingly. So let's just assume he only has $100 in assets. So the $100 would have to go to Ploni, and he's making. Maybe we say he's making a kenunya to get rid of, to trick Hekdesh. But we said over there, ain't Adam Osa kenunya al Hekdesh. We say Chazaka ain't the most kenunya of Hekdesh. People do not make these ploys when it comes to Hekdesh. So lema kitanai armelishmaite. Are we going to say now that this that Rav Huna, who says this idea of Ein Adam Osek Knuyin Nehektesh, is only going according to one Shita, because the way we're establishing our Mishnah is that whether or not a person makes a Knuyin Nehektesh is a Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So if now that Rav Huna made a statement, that would only go according to one Shita. We try to avoid saying that unless there's, why would he do that? So Mishnah says, lo, that's not the case. That's Rav Huna's din is not totally the Machlokes Tanayim because Ad Kan Lo Pligi, Ela Vibari. When it comes to a bari person, to a healthy person, then that's where their machlokas is. But when it comes to a sick person, when a shchiv meira, that case of Rav Huna, there ain't other mosek klunyal v'hekesh. No one's going to make this sort of ploy. My timer ain't other chotev lo. He's going to make no benefit out of it. Guy is about to die, and he's telling you know, it's like a deathbed confession. It's one of the exceptions to hearsay, also, right? A dying declaration. Person is about to die, he's got no point to lie. He's not getting any personal benefit out of it. So why would you do that? So in that case, we say, but when it comes to a bari, a healthy person, which is the case of our Mishnah, it's a healthy person who's divorcing the wife, making this whole plan. So maybe there's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of whether or not make a kununya with hekesh. If he's on his deathbed, everyone would agree that he doesn't make the kununya. That's answer number one as to what the machlokas in Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua is. Answer number two, Ika de Amri, everyone says, Bivari kuliamalo pligi, the girsa is the adam osa kununyan hektesh. Everyone agrees that a person does make a kununyan hektesh. People, hektesh doesn't scare people. People are that brazen. They will make this subterfuge to try to trick hektesh to get their money out. When it comes to money, people do crazy things. If that's the case, that people do make a kununya hektesh, so then why does Rabbi Yeshua say you don't have to take this neder? So what's the machlokas? V'hacha b'neder shehuda b'rabim kamiflagi. Their machlokas is, what's the story if you take a neder in public, right, a public neder? Mar Savar, Rabbi Yeshua is going to hold, he's the one who says that you don't take this neder. Mar Savar, yesh lo hafara. You can still be mefer neder. When you take a neder, sometimes there's a way to get out of it by doing hafaras nedarim. There are certain nedarim, machlokas we can see, there are certain nedarim that are very, very severe. If you take these more severe types of nedarim, does the hafara still apply? So Rabbi Yeshua says, even if you take this neder in public, even though it's a serious neder, you still can be mefer. So what's the point of taking this neder, a neder that I'm not going to get in tanar from this woman, he can be mafir the neder. Like you take the neder in court, so it's in Rabim, he can be made for the neder. So there's no point in the neder anyway. Just be made for the neder, and I don't know, still you have to go through. I don't know why that's a big deal, because to do hafaras nedarim, you still have to have a Pesach, you still have to do certain things. He says, Mar Safar Yeshu Hafara, and if there's Hafara, Rashi says, Mishum Hachi Einu Tzarech, the Haloma Hanimidi. Therefore you don't take this neder during the divorce, because it doesn't accomplish anything. Mar Safar, and Rabbi Lazar doesn't say, Einu Hafara. No, he's taking this serious neder in public. There's no way to be made for that neder. That neder stands forever. So there's a point to taking that neder, and therefore, because you won't be able to benefit, and you won't be able to make the trick of hekesh. Or you can say, the kuliyamu neder shudam arabim yesh lo hafara. Neder that is made in public does have a fara. Oh, if that's the case, it does have a fara. So why does Rabbi Lezer say you make the neder? Because here we're dealing with v'hacha b'neder shehudar al das rabim kamiflaki. This is even more stringent neder, which is a neder made with the knowledge of the public, which Rashi says sha'omrim lo nedor, where the public tells you to make the neder. You're not making the neder in front of everybody. Everybody is telling you to make the neder. That's a level, you know, higher level neder. So maybe over there, that's the machlokas. Right, and Rashi that brings that over here. That Rashi and Gittin says that the language of the neder is anu medirim oscha al da'atenu. There's a machlokas there. Well, it's hataras of a chacham there. Neder here, Rabbi Lezer says there's no hafara. That's why they're doing over here. There's no hafara, so take the neder. Rabbi Yeshua again says that there is hafara, and therefore there's no purpose to the neder because you can still be made for the neder. Okay. Ella. So now the Gemara asks on these last two answers, which are basically the same. We're talking about different neder, type of neder. They're asking on those. Ella hada amar a meimer. We know a meimer has said that neder shehuda v'ravim yesh no hafara, and a neder that is taken in public does have hafara, but al das rabim ain't no hafara. But al das rabim doesn't have hafara. Lema kitanai amar lishmaite. Again, is he saying his statement only according to one shita of tanayim? We try to avoid that. I guess unless they have a source, He said, but he doesn't. So he's saying, is he saying, you're making a clear halachic statement. He should make say the statement is a subject to a machlokas. But he's making the statement saying that a neder that's done al das rabim has no hafara. But the way we're explaining that, Rabbi Shua says, it does have hafara. Right? And number two, v'su, Rabbi Shua omer enu tzarech, enu molmi boyle. Look at the Mishnah. The lashon of the Mishnah that Rabbi Shua said about this neder, you don't need to take the neder. Based on what we're explaining now, what Yeshua should be saying is that there's no purpose in taking the neder.
What's the difference between Birabim and Al-Das Rabim?
Right, so Birabim means I'm taking on my own accord in front of everybody. And Al-Das Rabim means the Rabim tells us, but the language was that Anu Madir Moscha Al-Datenu. We are making the neder, we are forcing you to take the neder because of us. As opposed to just I'm taking the neder on my own accord in front of everybody, or everybody enforcing the neder upon me. So the second one is a little bit of a more stringent, you know, Gemara assumes it's a little more stringent type of neder. But the Gemara says that the language of the Mishnah doesn't work. The language of the Mishnah should be that it's eno moyo, that it doesn't work. Not that it has no purpose, not that you don't need it. You still do need it, it's just a question of whether it works or not. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is going to knock out those last two. Elohacha, what's the machlokas over here? Again, we still have the first one, right? The first one was a person making kenunya. That was the first answer. But then the second answer is going to be now, Elohacha, the machlokas is whether somebody or not can be mashil and get out of a neder that he makes the hektish. When he makes something hektish, can he go to a chacham and uproot that neder? Right? Right? Rashi says, or it's the longest Rashi. So b'sheilo de hektish pliti. Rabbi Lezer Savar, you see the Rashi? It's like right across from the line before the Gemara starts. B'sheilo de hektish pliti. Rabbi Lazar Savar, Ein Yisham al Hektish L'Chacham. You make something Hektish, you can't go to L'Chacham to uproot it. Right? Vafilo Omer L'Chacham, and even if you say to the Chacham, Lo L'Das Kena Darti, right? That's not the reason why I did it. The Hektish Tohu, when I made a mistake, Afilo Chacham, Hachi, Ein Chacham Matin Nijo. The Chacham cannot take out his neder. It doesn't work. Hilkach, Zemagaris Ishto, the Hekdisho, Mischarek, the Einu Motzi Chacham Shaytirenu, L'Chein Osi Kunyuzo. So this guy, who's going to do this whole thing with the he makes the thing hektesh, he's got no choice. He can't remove his money from hektesh, because chacham can't be moderate. So he's going to make this trick. And he's going to say, oh no, I didn't pay the loan, so therefore she's going to go get the money, so therefore we're concerned about. But Rabbi Yeshua, Savar, Nishalam ala hektesh. A person can be mashal on hektesh. V'hacha inot tzarech lidor hana. That's why here, he doesn't have to take this neder for hana. Because if we're really concerned about the kenunya, then all he had to do was just mashal his nether and say I never would have made this nether had I known they would have gone broke, and the chacham would have matted the nether. His whole point is that he wants to get the money out. So the only way to get the money out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is to do the kenunya, is to divorce his wife, because he can't be mashal. So we're concerned that this is a kenunya. According to Rabbi Yeshua, there's an easier way for him to get out of it. If he really wanted to get the money out of Hektesh, he just would have been mashiel. So he's not concerned about this klunya. If he was getting the money out of Hektesh, why would he divorce his wife? Just go mashiel somebody. So if he's divorcing his wife, must be legit. When the Mar brings a Bryce as a proof, Vatanya here, right? Vatanya sometimes is a kasha, but Rashi says here, Vatanya is benichusa. It's a proof. Vatanya, hamachdish nechasav, someone who's machdish is nechasim. And he has a pre-existing chov of his wife beforehand. Rabbi Lezer Omer Kishu Megarsha, when he divorces his wife, Yidur Hana, he should, or if he divorces her, he should make this neder of Hana, that he cannot not get any Hana benefit from her. Rabbi Shu Omer in the Tzarek, he doesn't have to. But Amr Rabbi Lezer Shimon, Rabbi Lezer Shimon says, Hain Dibri Beis Shammai, the Hain Dibri Beis Hillel, that Rabbi Lezer is going according to Beis Shammai, because it's the Machlokes is in Maseches Nazir, the Mishnah there. He says here to Naflam and Mabez that the machlokas is whether or not you're allowed to be mashil on something that you make hektesh is a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you can, so the Lezer goes according to Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel says you cannot, and that is Rabbi Yeshua. All right, so read again. Hein divrei Beis Shammai, hein divrei Beis Hillel, so Beis Shammai omer hektesh toes hektesh. You can hektesh by mistake, or hektesh done in a way that you never thought that would be what would come about. Beis Hillel is still hektish, can't get out of it. Well, Beis Hillel omrim hektish tos, ain't no hektish. Hektish tos is not considered hektish. So when it comes to Sheila, Beis Hillel, Shiv Shammai says you cannot be mashil, and Beis Hillel says you can. If you can be mashiel, then there's no point of the neder hanav, because just be mashiel. If you cannot be mashiel, the only way to get the money out was to make this klunya, and therefore you have to take the neder. Fine. Where is this? Chayin Hayir Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the same thing when it comes to an Arev, right? So somebody has a guarantor or co-signer on his loan, on his ksuva. He needs money, so he makes this. We're concerned that he'll make this kununya, divorce his wife. She'll go to the guarantor to collect the money, and then they get remarried, and then they have a little bit of a little bit of a starting point. So Moshe Bar Atzri, the name of a person. Not often you see Moshe in the Gemara, but Moshe Bar Atzri. No, he's quoted somewhere else, I think.
It's the same case.
The same case, right? It's above a Basra or something like that. Yeah, okay. Moshe Bar Atzri of Arva de Kalse Have. So he was the guarantor on his daughter-in-law's ksuba. He guarantees his son's obligation. Who's the son? Rav Huna. Rav Huna Berei, Surber Meirvan Have. He was a big Talmud Chacham. His son was a big Talmud Chacham, and he was the guarantor on the ksuba. Udechikli Milsa. Rav Huna, his son, was a big Talmud Chacham, but he had no money. Okay? Amar Abayi says, which is a little difficult here, Leka, he has no money. Leka did not pay Eitzel Rav Huna, the Lagarish, the Bisayu, Vititvay Kesuvasa Meyavua. Has nobody told Rav Huna about this trick? He needs money. Let him divorce his wife. And she collected Kesuba, and she collected Kesuba from his father. Ula Hadri Mehadri. And then they'll get remarried, and they'll have the money from the father. It's like, this is what we're not supposed to do. So Amale Rava said, how can you give them advice to do that? Our Mishnah said that in order to avoid this, they made a takana that you're supposed to take a neder not to get hana from the wife. So this is obviously something that we're concerned about, and you're telling him to go ahead and do that? So Abaye says, what's the big deal? Right? The Abaye, Atu called the Megarish, but Bedin Megarish? Does everybody divorce in an expert court? Go to a place where they don't know the rules and do it there. They won't make him take the neder. I mean, that sort of defeats that. The point being is that you're not supposed to do this, right? He says, right, kol megarish bedin megarish. Rashi says, atu kol megarish bedin megarish sheyomer lo dor hana, that you should take this neder hana yelch betzina v'yigarshena. Go divorce her in a private setting, right? And be done with it. You don't have to make the neder. So the Gemara then says, l'sof ilgam milsa the kohen have turned out that Rav Huna is actually a kohen, so this wouldn't work anyway because you can't remarry her. So Amar Abaye says, Basar Anya Azal Aniyusa. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Right? This guy's poor, he's got no option. He's got, after Aniyus follows Aniyus. There's nothing for him to do. So Gemara says, now the Gemara asks, Amar Abaye Hachi. Could Abaye really say this? That you could do this Eitzah to trick the father-in-law? Or to trick his father? Vahamar Abaye says, Ezehu Rasha Arum. Who's considered a sly, sneaky, evil person? Zeha Mesi Eitzah Limkor B'Nechasim Kirim Shimon Gamaliel. This is Abaye speaking, who's someone who tells somebody to sell his nechassim in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's according to the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel? So Mar says here, Rashi says here, Maseches Ksuvas. It's talking about what's called a remainder trust, where I give over all my nechassim to Joe, and after Joe passes away, the nechassim should go to Steve. So Steve has whatever's left over goes to Steve. So theoretically, Joe could sell everything he wants, and there's nothing left over for Steve afterwards. But we know that the intent of the bequeather was that there should be money left over for Steve afterwards. So you shouldn't go ahead and just get dispose of all the nechassim. So Rashi says, "Kavshim Gamliel b'masech haksuvas ha'omer b'shas misa nachsi nechassi lecha b'yacharech leploni v'yarad harishon u'machar," and the first one goes ahead and sells everything. Right? Kavshim Gamliel Omer ein l'sheni elamasha shi harishon. The second guy only has the remainder, what's left over. So if someone goes ahead and says, yeah, Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's a good sale, so I'll go ahead and sell everything. Abaye says, if a person who does that for no reason, like maybe if he needs money, it's something else. For no reason, he sells everything. He's violating the intent of the, you know, of the person who gave them the chasim, and he's considered a rasha arum. So that's considered a rasha arum. But here, Abai is going to tell you to go ahead and trick the father to get the ksuba. How can he say that? So more answers. Two answers. Number one, bereishani and sorban ribonim shani. I'm not sure if it has to be one or both. Once the son is different, Number one, the son is different in that, I guess, I said two things. Either that is rachmanis of the father, but I think that was the answer, because if there was rachmanis on the father, then he would have given money when he had difficulty to begin with. So it must be, I think it might be, is that the money eventually is going to get to the son anyway, assuming that the father predeceases the son, that money, oh, it's my money anyway, so it's going to come to him anyway. And the answer number two, or 1A, it's sober rabbanon, it's shiny, it's sober rabbanon, and therefore you have to help him out. I don't like that answer. I don't think any hero likes that answer. Just because the guy's a Talmud Chacham means you start tricking people to get him money. I'm not sure. Okay, so I don't know if that people would be accepting of that today. Abai said that kol de megarish medina megarish. Everyone, is that really the case that everyone divorces in the court? So it's a machlokas we've shown him based on that. So the Shita Mekubetzes brings down some. From the Rishonim, and it happens to be, I think it's a Yad Raman, the Bava Basra, so that the whole idea of taking this neder, only it can take place if you remember at the time of the divorce, initially. But if they get divorced, and they don't take the neder at the time of the divorce, and then they come later to collect, you don't take the neder. Because if that was because otherwise, what would Abaye have been saying? If I would say, oh, everyone who divorces at the time of the divorce, divorces in court, say no, but when they go to collect the money in the ksuba, it's in court and take the neder there. If you look at the Shita Megbetzes, I don't know, everyone's Shita lines up differently. He says, of Abai Amar called the Megarish by Dina Megarish. He says, Ra'isi min ha-gedolim she-ditku mikan she-im lo hidira b'shas nesina saget. If he didn't make the neder at the time of the actual divorce, shuv ein madimino so. You don't have to take that neder anymore. The ilo temo ha-chim, you don't say that, my kam Rabai. What is Rabai saying? Ought to call man the megarish from the din megarish. My nachemino ilo yigard raised in. We call mokum kshetova legolus mksuva. Nevertheless, we come to cut the ksuva machmei yidirena. That's when the guarantor will force them to take the neder. Tosfos says, then he quotes Tosfos Rosh says, lo nehirli the imke maho ilachacham b'tekanasam. If that's the case that the neder is only given at the time of the nesinas aget, then what's the purpose of this takana? The purpose of the takana would be that what? You're supposed to take the neder, so everybody who has this kunya will just go somewhere else, and go to a base din, and go somewhere else, and take and give the get there, and then they're done, and they collect the money. So it's machlokes rishonim as to what would be the case if you don't take the neder at the outset. Okay.
It seems hard to believe that Abai didn't know that Rav Huna was a kohen.
Why? Maybe he's from a different town. Who knows? Who says they? Who's no? The story came to him, and he says, "What did anyone tell him? Did anyone tell him that he should take the thing?" Okay, but typically, the Gemara says, "Wait a second. Why do we have to give this Eitzah? Why do you have to give? Why would this Eitzah even work according to Abaye? How would it work?" But typically, the Arib Diksuba Lo Mishtabe. You can see that you can't do this is because someone co-signs on a ksuba. But a co-signer ksuba is not really obligated to make the payment, right? Why? We'll see. So Rav Huna's father would never have been chayiv, so wouldn't have made any difference to go after him. Because we're going to see that maybe the co-signer ksuba is not mishtabed himself. Maybe the whole reason why he's co-signing is the person doesn't really want to get married. The woman won't get married unless it's a guarantor, and he's just doing the mitzvah to get along, so the marriage takes place. But he's not really has gemiras das to obligate himself. So that's why Abaye. That's the reason. The reason why I would say that they didn't tell him to do that is because it's the wrong thing to do. But after saying, the reason why they told Abaye that they're going to answer Abaye as to why they didn't do this is because he wanted help anyway, because he's just an Arif. So he says, no. He wasn't an Arif. He was more than an Arif. He was a Kablan Havei. He was a higher level Arif, which is a Kablan. And Rashi says Kablan Havei shehit pisa Rav Huna mitatli l'ksuva v'hi hishlimu sola aviv. Moshe Bar Etzi was his higher level kablan, which means at the time of the nesuin, Rav Huna gave his wife some sort of a taltalim that would be a mashkon for the ksuba. She went ahead and then gave that mashkon to the father to Moshe. So now he's this higher level. He's this higher level kablan. He actually has the money. So it would have worked. So Moshe said, "Okay, wait a second. So there's a machlokes as to whether or not even a kavlan accepts full responsibility to make the payment. At what point? Some say it doesn't make a difference whether the person he's taking responsibility for has or doesn't have nechassim. He's a kavlan, he accepts responsibility. Those who say that the person has no nechassim, then the kavlan is not accepting responsibility. I'm not expecting responsibility. You come to me first. You should be able to try to get from the other guy first. If he has no nechassim, I never. Why would I make that guy? Why would I do that? Because then it's my loan. Why would I do that? I'm only taking on secondary responsibility, not the first responsibility. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Originally, Ravuna had money, and then he lost the money. So when he accepted the kavlanas back when at point A, Ravuna had money. So we're talking a situation where everyone would agree that the kavlan would be mishabed. Now, when it comes to a father, but for a son, he's going to be mishabe. So I'm not sure if that answers both kavlan and arev, or just answers kavlan.
The mashkin was the mashkin for the tzuba?
Yes, for the tzuba.
Why can't you just ask for it?
Ask for it back. I don't know. That's what Rashi says. That's the case of kavlan, which I think is interesting because right then the money is extant unless he used it. I don't know. But then he's a ganav. I the question. I don't know.
It's
not enough. Maybe it's not enough. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. So now the Gemara just proves this whole machlokas. Okay, so the second answer, Abba says, Abba the Gabi Brei, I'm wondering if that even goes back to the Arev case. Even by, you know, Arev by Ksuba, we said, is not someone person is a Mishnabe, maybe with his father, by his son, he is. Or maybe they're just saying by a Kavlan, even by a Kavlan without money, he had money to begin with. According to, even to strengthen your question more, Rashi's case is where he had the money and he gave it to him. So he had money and he's holding it. I don't know. I'll try to look that up. That's a good question. To Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Arev de Ksuba, someone who becomes an Arev for a Ksuba, Divrei kol lo mishtabed. Everyone agrees, there's no Gemir Stav, he's not mishtabed, and he's not obligated to pay. Right, Rashi says, Arev de Ksuba, Divrei kol mishtabed, the first short line, the mitzvah of it, he's doing this just for the mitzvah, the zavgam, he's doing for shiduchim, everything's much when it comes to shiduchim. He's not losing anything. He's not giving over anything. There's no money over here. He's just doing it for the mitzvah to get married, and the woman's not losing anything. The kablan de balchov, a kablan, which is this higher level of a kablan for a balchov for a loan. Divrei kol mishtabed. Everyone agrees that he's mishtabed. Arev de balchov. Now, when it comes to an arev of balchov, the kablan de ksuva. And a kavlan by ksuba pligi. That's the machlokas. Ikalamanda amr islay nixli the lova mishtabed lesli lo mishtabed. There are those who say that I guess at the time of the loan, the lova has nechassim, then or the husband has nechassim. Everyone will agree that they are or in the kavlan in that case are mishtabed. If it doesn't have nechassim, they're not mishtabed. The ikalamanda amr afagat lesli mishtabed. Lesli mishtabed. Those who say no, a kavlan for ksuba and an arev for a loan. The idea was, the only reason why I'm signing the Arev for the coat, there's no mitzvah for him to lend the money. So the co-signing the loan, if he doesn't have the money, I'm going to back him up. And a kavlan b'ksuba, everyone doesn't agree that he also accepts the responsibility. The hilchasa, the halacha is, b'kulo afalgav de lesle, in all situations by Arevus, even if the lova does not have nechassim at the time of the loan, nami mishtabed, the Arev is also mishtabed. Levar, except may arev de ksuba, except for an arev by a ksuba, the afagav the islay, even if there are nechassim by an arev of the ksuba, lo mishtabe. The arev is not going to be mishtabe. He's not taking responsibility. My taima mitzvah ka'avid velo midi chisred. He's just doing it as a mitzvah to make the shiduchim. Doesn't matter whether the husband has money or not. The only reason why he's co-starring the ksuba is to make the mitzvah so he could do it for shiduchim purposes. And he has no gemiras das that he would have to pay up if the guy lost his money. But our case would be either a kablan or it would be abba legabe brei, that the father is different, that the father does accept the responsibility. You walked in late, so maybe.
I mean, when do we ever find that I say it, I don't mean it?
What?
When do we ever find anywhere else we say something and you don't mean it?
Well, Anansadi, we have, that's the Umdana. That's the number that we accept. That's the halachic status accept as a person who co-signs on the ksuba is only doing so in order to progress the shidduch. Right? All right.
Well, that means the question: isn't that the whole tradition should be invalidated?
Is that the ksuba?
She has no das.
That's not the tradition. That's the ksuba. The ksuba.
The
ksuba is his monetary obligation. The kedushin is
kedushin is step one. Contract, right? She's getting a ring. She has to have a certain das.
Right.
She's being tricked.
She's
only signing you. The whole point is to get her to get married, right? That's the whole thing. She's gonna.
Right. So I think that's the second part. The second part was v'lo midei chasrei. She doesn't lose anything. The guy still has. There's still a monetary obligation to it. The guy still owes her the money.
The ksuba protection for her.
She still owes the money.
But was saying that the only reason that he's co-signing is to get her to accept the ksuba. Then otherwise, what do you need a co-sign for?
Right, but she has. It's not a bilateral contract. She has no obligations.
Right.
It's just his obligation to her. It's a little bit different than your situation. I hear your question, but it's a little bit different. She has no obligations under the ksuba.
She has no obligation, right? But she's accepting it.
Right, but the kedushin is already chal a year before. The ksuba is later. She's already mekudeshes. The ksuba is not the kedushin.
So what do you need ksuba for?
It's his obligations towards her. He's still obligated.
So what do you need a garif for?
What?
You need an arif. What's the purpose?
I hear
of
you.
If you need the arif, if you need the arif, then the arif has to be good. And if you don't need the arif, then what do
right.
you ask one for?
So I mean, you have to go on to the answers of those chazakas that a woman prefers to be married and not to be married, right? Tavlan the maiten tan du milasim amalusa. You have to come on to these ideas that she would still get married. She would still get married anyway. Yeah, you have to answer that because otherwise you're right. You have to answer these difficult answers as to why.
Protect the woman in the future. Otherwise, they'd be taking advantage of the woman.
The whole reason we allowed an Ariv was to make the Shidduch
right.
go through.
He quotes here Tosos, he says that you need, if he co-signs the ksuba afterwards, like they're already married and he co-signs the ksuba, then he is Meshabi himself. And he quotes here also that Shanasa Ariv bin Yishun. If there's anything that's
right.
missing from the woman,
the
clear,
like
right?
Then he's not
sure, mm-hmm. Right. That's a kosher, right? So he quotes here my answer from the Rashbam and Bava Basra, that he says, but didn't she want to get married because of the arvus? He says, no, we say for tavla meitav tan duli meisav melusa. It's better for her to be married. Women have this chazaka; they'd rather be married than not be married. So he was not mishabit. It's okay. That's it. All right.
Divorcing her for any reason.
Right, right, but his question is very strong. Okay, so I wasn't going to go through with his marriage unless I knew that I'd be guaranteed. So the more answer, she would have gone through the marriage anyway. I think that answer is addressing your question, whether or not you like that chazaka or not. That's a different story, but fine. Ahu gavra dizavinu l'nachse. So you had a person who sold all of his stuff. The kagar shalib yisayu, and then he's divorcing his wife. So now we're concerned, wait a second. The wife has the pre-existing lien. Maybe he's tricking the lokeya because he needs to get the money back. He lost all his money. So Shachar of Yosef, the Rav, the Kami, the Rapapa, Arev Tnan, Hekdesh Tnan, lokeya mahu. Our minister talked about he'd have to take this neder when it comes to a guarantor and when it comes to being maktish. What about someone who's makne, who makes a sale? That's not mentioned in our Mishnah. So maybe are we concerned about the kanunya there or not? So Amar Leh, so our Papa says to Rav Yosef, of course it's the same thing. It's the same logic. Tanakh Yeroch L'Nachshiv Nezel, is the Mishnah like a peddler that just starts spewing off things? Mishnah gives one or two rules and examples, and you know the rule. The rule is if you're concerned about Kanunya, so to here you'd be concerned about the Kanunya, and therefore in order for him, when he divorces his wife in this situation, they'd have to have the neder that he's not allowed to get Hanah from her, because otherwise we'd have this problem of him getting the money back from the sale. But Nardai Amri, Rav Yosef, no. Ditznan, Lotznan, Lotznan. And the Mishnah is an exhaustive list. Whatever is mentioned in the list of Mishnah we're concerned about, that's what we're concerned. If it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, then we're not concerned. Amarav Misharshia, my time in Nehardai, what's the reasoning behind Nehardai who says that we're not concerned about this potential for Kanunya when it comes to a sale? He says, Bishlam on Hekdesh. When it comes to Hekdesh, I'm concerned about it. Mishum Revok the Hekdesh. Because again, the house always wins. We want to make sure that Hekdesh always gets his money. We don't want Hekdesh money to be taken out from Hekdesh. Arev Nami, when it comes to the Arev, we also want to be concerned. Mitzvah the Ovid, Velo Midi Chasra. There, he was just doing, I mean, I don't understand what the issue is by the Arev. The Arev is not obligated anyway. But he says, the Arev was just there to do a mitzvah. He's just helping along the Shidduchim, so we want to protect him. But we just said that that's the reason why the Arev is not obligated. Okay. But El Lokeach, when it comes to Lokeach, Michtei Medi Yod, the Kol Chavachad Ikali Ksuba, when you're in Mecha Chomemkar, buyer beware. Do your diligence. Find out whether or not there is a ksuba or not. Find out whether or not there is a senior loan out there. There's a senior obligation out there. And if there is a senior obligation, so either A, you ask for a higher interest rate. That's why subordinated notes are always higher interest rate than senior notes. Or make sure that the guy has some other property in order to pay off the ksuba. What are you doing? You have to do your diligence when it comes to a purchase. Right, Mithi, made the other, the Kol Chavachad Ikali Ksuba, Amai Nezel V'Nizbon, Iyu Avsi Denashe. So why is he going ahead and buying this as is, basically? You know, buyer beware. Why, we should then go protect him? You should have done your diligence and seen what was going on. So Nardai says, when it comes to the case of the sale, we don't have this neder because there's no one to protect. The person lost it on his own. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay. So just to point out, there's a Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, and how to read almost every line of this Mishnah. As all we do, we go according to the Shita of Rashi. Unless we don't understand it, then we go elsewhere, but we're going to go according to Rashi. So, Hamakdish Nechasav, someone who's Makdish all of his property. Vahaisa Alav Ksubas Isha, but he has a pre-existing lien, there's a senior obligation to pay the Ksuba of his wife. And similarly, Balchov, right, or there's a Balchov, that he has a pre-existing senior lien of a Balchov. Ein Ha'isha Yechola Ligbos Ksuvasim in a Hekdesh. So therefore, what's been going on now is that Hekdesh is null, because there's a pre-existing lien to the woman or to the Balchov. So you would say, oh, so let the Balchov just go to Hekdesh and take their money. Let the woman just go to Hekdesh and take their money. The Gemara says, no, Ein Ha'isha Yochel Ligbos Ksuvasim in Hekdesh. Velo Balchov Eschovo Elapode. They have to do some sort of ceremonial redemption. You can't just go ahead and take money from Hekdesh. You have to give them something. Right? Pode. So what you have to do, Machlok Rashi Tosfos, who does this redemption? Somebody has to redeem from Hekdesh on condition. That's a Machlokas. That's who it is. Is it the Bailim or is it the person who's owed the money? Maybe the Balchov has to do this. It's like the ceremonial redemption. It doesn't need to be redeemed halachically because it never had the kedusha was never chal. They have to do something and they have to redeem it. But well, of course, Gemara says you have to give a little bit. You have to give a little bit. But you're right. So Gemara says, according to Rashi, now this is the second part of the Mishnah is an example, meaning Hikdish Tishimana. So he was Makdish 90. He has $90 that he's going to be Makdish by Yechovo Meyamana, but he owes 100. So all 90 is subject to the lien, the pre-existing lien, right? So what happens? Mosiv owed dinar. So somehow you have to like borrow. Someone borrows another dinar. And then you take this extra dinar, and you take this dinar, and you pote all the hektesh onto this dinar. Hektesh gets this ceremonious little, it gets the penny, and you take all the money out, and then you pay back what was owed. This is after the ceremonial hektesh. That ceremonial pidyon. Gemara says, Lamali meimar pote pote. So why do you have to say that you have to redeem? Why do you have to redeem? It's a gzera, it's a takana, because people from the outside are going to see money coming out from Hekdesh. They're not going to realize it's coming out from Hekdesh because it never really belonged to Hekdesh, and they're going to think, oh, you can take out money from Hekdesh. So therefore, I do this little bit, the ceremonial pidyon, to say that there's a redemption, right? And masnisin de lo krem shum gamliel, our Mishnah does not accord to shita of shum gamliel. The Tanya of shum gamliel says, the Tanya of shum gamliel omer, im haya chovo kneven Hekdesh pode. The imlav eno poder. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look at Rashi here. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, im chovo keneged hekdeshu poder. Well, let's read that side. If the amount that the chov, the senior loan is equivalent to the amount of hekdesh, then you have to do this hekdesh. But if not, in our case in the Mishnah was that the chov was greater than the amount that was hekdesh. If the chov is greater, ain poda. you don't have to redeem it, right? Rashi says, "Im lav dechova yosir mehekdesho lo adaite dehachi uzbe ella hamuni mehemdan hilchach lo gav mehekdesh." Not sure what that means, but he seems to say that only if it was equivalent, you have to do hekdesh. If my loan was greater than hekdesh, I guess people will find out that it never equaled. It was too. He already had the pre-existing lien, and you're not concerned about it, and not concerned that people could think that you could be pulled in from hekdesh. But Rabbanan, who say, Rabbanan will argue with Shimon Gamliel and say that even, like our Mishnah, even if the loan is less, right, even if the hekdesh is less than the pre-existing loan, ad kama, well, at a certain point, it reaches the point of being ridiculous, right, that you have to redeem. Ad kama, if the hekdesh, the one you hekdesh is at least is more than 50% less than the loan, then you don't have to do this whole thing about pidyon. Okay. Next Mishnah. We had mentioned before that if a person takes an erechin vow, right, based on the chart, takes the erechin vow, so he has to pay whatever the amount is, and he can't pay. So we had this whole thing of hasagas yad, right? He has to, someone who doesn't pay, but he has the chasim, we said we've been mashkinim. We take a mashkon until he pays it back. I think that was Sunday stuff. He takes the mashkon. So Gemara says, "Al pisha amru chayave erechin mashkin." So even though when it comes to chayave erechin, we take this mashkon. The gizbar goes in and takes these. He doesn't have cash. He's not liquid. So you take his items, right? Nevertheless, we have to make sure to leave no sin lo mazon shloshim yom. He has to have food for 30 days. Uksus l'shnei mishachodesh, has to have a year's worth of clothing. Oh, right. And mita mutsas with sun level tefillah. You have to leave over a bed, shoes, and his tefillin. So whatever you take mashkon, you can't take that much. I don't know if he has this much. If he has muslin for 30 days and he has clothing for if he has this much in his house, just sell his stuff and I guess maybe that's just sell the stuff and let him pay. Okay. Right, but the Gemara says you leave low about low to ishto banav. You only can leave over stuff for him. But you don't leave over food for his wife and children. Im haya uman, if he was an artisan, he was a craftsman, no sin lo shnei kulei umanos, we call min v'min. He has to have two craft articles, I guess if he's a tailor, you leave him two sewing machines, for each thing that he does. For example, charosh, if he's a carpenter, no sin lo shnei ma'atzadin v'shnei mageros. Was that two planes and two nails? Was that? Two swords. First is a plane, the first one?
Yeah,
plane. Okay. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, Im haya ikar, if he's a farmer, no sin lo tsamdo. Yes, that's the simdo is the
oxen.
What?
Oxen.
Team of oxen. Semed bokar hein kli umraso. I guess that's his professional tools. All right, and if he's a chamar, I guess he's a taxi driver, no sin lo chamaro. Make sure he keeps his donkey. Hayolo min echa miruba u min echa muat. Let's say he has four oxen. Let's say the case of the carpenter. So he has three planes and only one saw. So, but he's supposed to leave over two and two. So, but he only owns three and one. So hayolo min echa miruba u min echa muat. Ein omrim limkor es hamiruba v'likach min amuat. We don't say sell the extra saw and then take the money from that sale. Ela nostin lo shnei minim min hameruba. We just leave over the two from the meruba and kol mashiyesh lo min hamuat. We don't say sell the third one and with that money buy a second of the other one. Rather, you have to leave over two and one. The only what he has is left over. If he made do with two and one before, he'll make do with two and one now. And then the Mishnah gives another halacha, ha-makdish nechasav, someone who's makdish all of his nechasim, even the tefillin are included. Ma'i lo tefillav. You have to divide, the tefillin is also considered hekdesh. What do? Is he has to figure out how much the tefillin are worth, borrow money, I guess, whatever it is, and redeem the tefillin, because the tefillin are included in the hekdesh. Okay? We will stop here by the Gemara on the bottom line.
Okay.